السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل لعبادي يقول التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا صدق الله العظيم Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers. The topic that I have selected for discussion today is a very integral, a very fundamental, and that is peaceful coexistence. One day a particular imam entered the masjid, and after ascending the pulpit, addressing the congregants, and he says, my brothers, today I have two messages for you. I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we now have sufficient funding to complete the masjid project. We have sufficient funding to complete the masjid project. That's the good news. Now comes the bad news. The bad news is the money is still in your pockets. I say, my brothers, as Muslims, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is we have that formula, we have that recipe, we have that prescription to rescue the world from the mayhem, the turbulence it is experiencing. But Allah forbid, this formula is on our bookshelves. This formula is on the tongues of orators. This formula is in our masajid. If only you and I can stand up to the test of time and revive the exemplary character of the Nabi of Allah and manifest the impeccable qualities of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I will endeavor to explain in the light of Quran and Sunnah the impact this will have on the broader world. The first hadith I quote before you appears in Tabarani. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he exits from the room of one of his honorable wives. And with him was Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. فَأَتَاهُ رَجُّلٌ عَلَىٰ رَاحِلَتِهِ كَالْبَدَوِي Suddenly there was a person who advances to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was mounted on his conveyance, and he looked like a Bedouin. And he comes to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have invited my people to Islam. They have accepted my message, and I promised them material wealth. I promised them material prosperity. Do you have any funds at your disposal? I invited them. فَأَخْشَىٰ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ طَمَعًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ طَمَعًا They accepted Islam passionately. I fear they must not exit from Islam very quickly. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have any funds at your disposal? I could rescue their plight through monetary aid. Nabi alayhi salam looks at Ali bin Abi Talib and he says, do you have any funds at hand? Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala says, O Nabi of Allah, the funds are depleted. We've got absolutely nothing. Just then there was a gentleman who appears before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, O Muhammad, I see you are in need of money. I am prepared to loan you money for a period of time on condition that you pay me back, number one, in the form of dates. Don't pay me back in cash. Pay me back in the form of dates. And number two, pay me back on a appointed time as agreed between you and I. Nabi alayhi salam said it's a done deal. Nabi alayhi salam took the money from this Jewish rabbi. Who was he? Zayd ibn Suhna. My brothers, listen to this.
The Nabi of Allah took the money from this Jewish rabbi, and he takes it and gives it to this Bedouin. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that take this money and distribute it with fairness and equality amongst your people to keep them in Islam. The Bedouin took the money and he left. Zayd ibn Suhna, the Jewish rabbi, he parted ways. Nabi alayhi salam then continued. Long story short, one day prior to the scheduled payment date, the Zayd ibn Suhna, he comes from the rear and he harshly grabs the garment of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Understand, there was a deliberate provocation on the side of Zayd ibn Suhna, and he comes from the rear and he harshly grabs the garment of the Nabi of Allah and he says, "You Quraysh, you have the reputation of prolonging payments. Oh Muhammad, give me my money." Bearing in mind there was still one day to settle the debt, he said, "Oh Muhammad, give me my money." The Zayd ibn Suhna, he says, "Whilst I was harshly demanding my money from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I happened to glance at Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ardaa wa 'aynahu taduran kal falq al mustadir." He says the eyeballs of Umar were turning viciously. "Ataqula li rasulillahi ma asma?" Do you speak to the Nabi of Allah like that? Don't you realize who you are speaking to? And Umar wanted to go for him. Nabi alayhi salam looked at Umar and he said, Umar, this is not how we deal with situations. But there's still one day, O Nabi of Allah, to settle the debt. Nabi alayhi salam said, Umar, this is not how we deal with situations. You should have been more diplomatic in your approach. You should have told me to be more prompt in paying my dues, what I owe. And you should have told Zayd ibn Suhna to be more lenient when demanding his due. Oh Umar, because of your harshness, you have exacerbated the problem. You have compounded the problem. Oh Umar, take this man, give him what we owe him, and give him an added amount. My brothers, where do we find this character today? Nonetheless, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, as I was walking, can we imagine how the blood of Umar was gushing viciously? So the Zayd ibn Suhna, he looks at Umar and he says, "You know, who am I?" So if you loosely translate, Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at him and he says, "I don't know you and I don't wish to know you. A man like you raises your voice in front of the greatest man that walks on Mother Earth." So Zayd ibn Suhna, he says, "Oh Umar, I am the Jewish rabbi. I am one of the well-known people in Madinatul Munawwara." He said, "Umar, what can I tell you? I have studied the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I had reservations in two qualities. I studied the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was convinced beyond doubt he is the final messenger of Allah. But I had reservations in two qualities which I read in the divine scriptures, that yasbiqu hilmuhu jahala, that his forbearance surpasses his anger. The more you aggravate him, the more calm he becomes. The more you incite him, the more composed he becomes. Oh Umar, I actually came to test those two qualities." He says, "I swear by the Almighty Allah." He recites the kalima and he tells Umar, "Anna shatra mali sadaqatan lil Islam." I do not want 1 cent in return. I am one of the well-known individuals in Medina. I am one of the wealthiest individuals in Medina. Take half my wealth and I give it to Islam. Give it to the Nabi of Allah. My brothers, what did it take to impress a Jewish rabbi of the beauty of Islam? It was the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith appears in Hakim. Nabi alayhi salam is sitting. There was one person who accepted Islam. His name was Alqamah. Alqamah bin Harith. And he was very profound in his articulation. He was very impressive in his speech. Nabi alayhi salam asked him that, "Who are you? Where are you from? Where do you hail from?" He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, there are seven of us in this group that we have accepted Islam." Nabi alayhi salam looks at him, "Have you accepted Islam? All seven of us." Nabi alayhi salam said, "لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَ فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ إِمَانِكَ." Every statement has a proof. What is the proof that you are a Muslim? You know, my brothers, I always say that many of us, we create symbols around us by virtue of which we identify ourselves as good Muslims by virtue of the fact that I have a 786 number, or my number plate is 786. I've got a 786 phone number, and by virtue of that, 786, we all know, is symbolic to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You know, by virtue of that, I consider myself to be a good Muslim based on the fact I have a 786 number. My brothers, Allah will not judge you. Allah will not judge me whether you got a 786 number or whether you got a 726 number. Allah will judge you based on your character. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I have accepted Islam." Nabi alayhi salam said, "What is the proof of your iman in Islam?" Listen to this, my brothers. He said, "We've got 15 qualities. Alqamah bin Harith, he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, we possess 15 qualities. I want you to hear me out." Nabi alayhi salam said, "What are these 15 qualities?" He says, "Five we have heard directly from you. Five we have heard from your messengers. And five we have inherited. Takhallafna fil jahiliyyah." These were those qualities that were prevalent in the time of jahiliyyah, in the period of ignorance. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Okay, let me hear these qualities. What are those five things that you heard from me?" So he says that, "O Nabi of Allah, you have commanded us, أَنُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّ مِنَ اللَّهِ." You have commanded us we should believe in the Almighty Allah, we should believe in the messengers of Allah, the divine scriptures, the day of Qiyamah, and we need to believe that good and bad is from the side of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam asked him the second question, that what five things did you hear from my messengers, from my companions? So Alqamah bin Harith, he says that your companions have exhorted us that amartana an nashhada an la ilaha illallah wa annaka abduhu wa rasuluh wa nuqimu as-salah wa nu'addi az-zakah wa nasumu ramadan wa nahujj al-bayt in istata ilayhi sabila. Your companions have exhorted us that we should believe in Allah, we should believe in you as the final messenger of Allah, we fast in Ramadan, discharge our zakah. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Okay, tell me, what are those five qualities that you have inherited from the time of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era?" My brothers, listen to this. What does he say? "Ash-shukru inda ar-raha, was-sabru inda al-bala, was-sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, war-radha bi murr al-qada, wa tark ash-shamatata bil musiba idha hallat bil a'da." He says the first quality that was found in the pre-Islamic era was ash-shukru inda ar-raha, gratefulness on moments of prosperity. Not pride, not arrogance, gratefulness. We look at the practice of aqiqah. When a child is born, as a token of appreciation, we normally slaughter the animal. If you look at the history of aqiqah, this goes back to the ancestry of the Nabi of Allah. At the birth of the Nabi of Allah, Nabi alayhi salam, he was brought to the Kaaba. As a sign of appreciation, an animal was slaughtered. Of course, the Nabi of Allah taught us the subtle benefits. He taught us the dua. Gratefulness on moments of prosperity. وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الْبَلَىٰ أَلْقَمَى بِنْ حَارِثِ. In front of the Nabi of Allah, the second quality that was found in the time of Jahiliyyah, that patience on moments of difficulties. Whatever difficulty comes your way, to persevere, to endure. Nabi alayhi salam asked him, what is the third quality? وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاطِنِ الْلِقَاءِ. Honesty in meeting. When you give a man your word, honor your word. Today no man honors his word. You know, my brothers, there is an amazing narrative recorded in Bidayah wa Nihaya. When Huzaifa bin Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina al-Munawwara, his migration coincided with the Battle of Badr. Whilst the Nabi of Allah was mobilizing in Medina, Huzaifa bin Yaman, he leaves from Makkah al-Mukarramah. As he comes to the outskirts of Makkah, Huzaifa bin Yaman was intercepted by Abu Jahl. He was intercepted by Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl tells Huzaifa and his father Al-Yaman that if we release you, you will join the ranks of the Muslims and you will fight against us in the Battle of Badr. Hence, we will not release you, period. Huzaifa bin Yaman, after lengthy negotiations, he tells Abu Jahl, I give you my word. Release my father and I. We will go to Medina. I give you my word. We will not join the ranks of the Muslims and fight against you in the Battle of Badr. When he told Abu Jahl this, Abu Jahl somehow he was convinced. And he releases Huzaifa bin Yaman, Huzaifa and his father Al-Yaman. The Nabi of Allah leaves from Medina to Al-Munawwara. The first battle of Islam, the Battle of Badr. As the Nabi of Allah comes to the outskirts of Medina, Huzaifa, he meets the Nabi of Allah. Huzaifa bin Yaman, radiyallahu ta'ala, says, O Nabi of Allah, could I join you in the expedition of Badr? Nabi alayhi salam says, by all means. My brothers, what we are speaking about? Honesty, when you give a man your word, honor your word. As they are walking, Huzaifa bin Yaman, he said, O Nabi of Allah, can I have a moment? What is it, O Huzaifa? My father and I left from Makkah al-Mukarramah on the journey of Hijrah. And we were intercepted by Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl feared that we will join the ranks of the Muslims in Medina and fight against him and his army in the Battle of Badr. I gave him my word just to appease him and just to get freedom that we will not fight against him. Nabi alayhi salam said, Huzaifa, did you give Abu Jahl your word? He said, yes. Nabi alayhi salam said, Huzaifa, the word that you had given Abu Jahl, it is binding. My brother, who was Abu Jahl? He was the Fir'aun of this ummah. What crime he caused to the Nabi of Allah in Islam? Abu Jahl, what Nabi alayhi salam tell Huzaifa? The verbal contract, al-idatu daynun. If you promise a man, it's a verbal contract that you have uttered. What happens today? You know, you promise a man and you say, you know what, take me to court. There's no tangible evidence. And this is what my Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that often you present to me with your arguments and you have a profound attorney and advocate and he might argue in your favor. My brothers, you might get away in this world, but the consequences of Akhirah will be very, very severe. Huzaifa bin Yaman, he did not enjoy the privilege of being a Badri Sahabi. Why? Because the word he gave to Abu Jahl was binding. Who were the Badri Sahaba? Open Bukhari, you will find the narration. Jibril comes down. He said, O Nabi of Allah, how do you view those who had participated in the Battle of Badr amongst your companions? Nabi alayhi salam said, they are senior in rank to my other Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salam, Jibril then tells the Nabi of Allah, وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Similarly, those malaika that aided the Muslims in the Battle of Badr are senior in rank to the other malaika of Allah. And Imam Bukhari has written, he says that any person who will take the names of the shuhada of Badr and thereafter make dua, your dua guaranteed will be accepted by the Almighty Allah. Huzaifa bin Yaman, he did not enjoy the privilege of being a Badri Sahabi. Why? The word he had given to Abu Jahl was binding. My brothers, today no man honors his word. You might get away in this world. There your salah will go, your zakat will go, your hajj will go, your charity will go. So what did he say? As-sidqu fi mawatini al-liqa. Honesty in meeting. You give a man your word, honor your word. Number four, happiness on the bitter decisions of fate. Whatever happens, become happy on the decision of the Almighty Allah. And number five, Al-Qama bin Harith, he told the Nabi of Allah, that quality that was found in the pre-Islamic era was, never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. Nabi alayhi salam heard those qualities, and he told Al-Qama, Fuqaha Udaba Kadu Ayyakunu Anbiya. These 15 qualities that you have mentioned, these are the qualities of Anbiya. These are the attributes of Anbiya. Nabi alayhi salam gave him a broad smile and he said, "Oh Al-Qama, let me add another 5, make it 20, and you have the best of both the worlds." What did the Nabi of Allah tell him? Number one, La tajma'u ma la ta'kulun. Don't amass so much that you would never live to eat. Don't amass so much that you would never live to eat. Number two, La tabnu ma la taskunun. Don't build dwellings and homes in which you will never reside. Number three, Wala tanafasu. Don't vie and compete with one another in things that you would leave behind tomorrow. Number four, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Fear that Almighty Allah, to whom is your ultimate return. And number five, the Nabi of Allah said, let the heart incline towards those deeds that would benefit you in your grave and the subsequent stages of death. Subhanallah. You know, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers, I'm speaking about this character. You know, when we look at the life of the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many a times, you know, people say, this man has done me an unpardonable crime. I would never forgive him. You know, often it happens. And Allah be my witness. You know, my brothers, when you travel the world, I used to return a few days ago from the United Kingdom. You know, you meet people who revert to Islam. And wallahi, I am intrigued. And you ask them, what motivated you? What inspired you? You know, what is there in Islam that inspired you to become a Muslim? My brothers, it's a sad reality. There are many, many people who have reverted to Islam. Many of them have said, I've heard this with my own ears, I am grateful to the Almighty Allah that I was first introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. If my first introduction was via the character of Muslims, I doubt I would have accepted the fate. But I am grateful to the Almighty Allah that Allah led me to Islam before leading me to Muslims. You know, there was a person, you know, he mentioned, and I heard this. He says that I reverted to Islam. I said, my brother, what motivated you? He said, somebody told me to study the life of this great Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said it was one narrative, one incident that inspired me to become a Muslim. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Madinatul Munawwara, sitting on the pulpit. There was a sahabi, a companion of the Nabi of Allah. His son went missing for 3 days. 3 days. Ask a person who has lost a child. And he enters Masjid al-Nabawi. And he started sobbing and crying like a little baby. And he pleads to the Nabi of Allah, I've lost my little child. Just then there was another companion who overheard the discussion. He said, O Nabi of Allah, the child of this man is playing outside Masjid al-Nabawi. What a sense of relief it was. The sahabi wanted to rush outside the masjid. Nabi alayhi salam called him and he said, Hawwin alayk, take it easy. Take it easy. When you go and meet your son, do not use the words, Ya Bunayya, O my son. Nabi alayhi salam said, your child, your son is playing with orphans outside. if the other orphans have to hear, "Oh, my beloved son," what would go through the heart of those innocent children? What would go through the heart of those innocent children? I mean, my brothers, study the seer of the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam, he enters Makkah as the conqueror of Makkah. I want to share with you two incidents. And Nabi alayhi salam said, "Makkah is safe. At this juncture, Allah has made it permissible for me to kill 15 evil elements. Once they are removed, the sanctity of the Kaaba will remain." Nabi alayhi salam, amongst those that he said must be killed was Ikramah. Ikramah was the son of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was the Fir'aun of this ummah. Ikramah, at the conquest of Makkah, he leaves from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah. He boards onto a ship heading towards Yemen. And as he boards onto the ship, they fear because the ship, you know, because of the rough seas. So he starts turning to his deity. So the others on the ship tell him, "Oh Ikramah, here your other deities won't help you. You need to turn to the true Allah." Like they say in English, there's no atheist on a sinking ship. Oh my God. So his wife, her name was Ummi Hakim bint Harith bin Hisham. She comes to the Nabi of Allah. And she said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, inna Ikrama qad haraba minka. Verily my husband Ikrama, he's left from Makkah fearing that you will kill him. I have come to ask you to forgive my husband for the wrongs that he has done to you and Islam." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Somebody comes to you and I will think about it. Let me sleep over it." In one word, "Wa amin," I have forgiven him. The same Ikrama, you know, in the center of the ocean, he makes a vow with the Almighty Allah. "Allahumma laka ahdun in afaitani mimma anafi." That, "Oh Allah, if you grant me deliverance from this crisis, I give you my word. When I get back to shore, I will pledge my allegiance at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." When he gets back to shore, his wife is waiting for him. And she says, "Ikrama, don't delay the matter. Allah's Nabi has forgiven you." He becomes so elated. He comes to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He stands in front of the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam, he looks at Ikrama, "What do you have to say?" He says, "My wife claims to say that you have forgiven me." Nabi alayhi salam says, "Indeed, the claim of your wife is correct. I have forgiven you." He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, such sins I have committed." He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, make dua for me. Make dua for me." My Nabi opened up his heart to those enemies who had committed unpardonable crimes. They speak about presidential pardon. I swear by the Almighty Allah, you will not find a more forgiving human than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salam picks up his hands in dua. "Allahumma ighfir lahu kull adawatin adaniha wa kull masirin sara fi ila mawda'in." Lengthy dua, I don't have time. "Oh Allah, forgive this man. Every time he insulted me in my presence, in my absence. Oh Allah, forgive this man. Every time he tried to extinguish your light and the light of Islam." It comes in the narrations, Ikrama, his eyes welled up with tears as the Nabi of Allah was making this dua. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I've committed such wrongs, but still you have it in your heart to forgive me. Indeed, you are the Nabi of Allah." Habbar bin Aswad, that notorious man, when Nabi alayhi salam's daughter Zainab, when she was making hijrah on the name of Allah, as she comes to the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, open Hayatul Sahaba, you'll find the narration. Zainab, the eldest daughter of the Nabi of Allah, she comes to a place called Zitua. This man Habbar bin Aswad, he had seen the daughter of the Nabi of Allah making hijrah. "We can never allow this to happen." What happens? He takes out his spear and he pierces the camel on which she was mounted. فَوَقَعَتْ عَلَىٰ سَخْرَةٍ. The beloved daughter Zainab, she falls onto a camel. She was pregnant and she miscarriages that child that was in her stomach, who was going to be the grandchild of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she starts bleeding profusely. Long story short, after a few days, she comes to Madinatul Munawwara. When Nabi alayhi salam had seen her in that condition, Nabi alayhi salam cried and cried. She passed away in the 8th year of the Hijrah. from the same wounds that she had sustained in the journey of Hijrah. The scholars have written, the mu'arrikheen, وَكَأَنَّ الْعَالَمُ كُلُّهُ كَانَ صَامِتًا. When Zainab had passed away, the Nabi of Allah cried and cried. He went into the grave, he exited from the grave smiling. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, you entered the grave crying, you exited smiling. He said, what can I tell you? I went into the grave, I looked at the loneliness of the grave, the darkness of the grave. I said, O my Allah, what is going to happen to my daughter Zainab? Allah sent down angels from the heavens and said, O Muhammad, we sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will accompany your daughter till she meets you in Jannah. I started smiling. The man who had murdered his own daughter, Nabi alayhi salam, Fatih Makkah, conquest of Makkah, he said, wherever you find a man, behead him. Habbar bin Aswad, a sahabi gets sight of him, he rushes towards him. Nabi alayhi salam said, give the man a chance. He stands before the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, Habbar, what do you have to say? He said, I've caused a lot of harm to you and your family. I was responsible for taking the life of your daughter. I was going to flee from Makkah, but I heard that you're a forgiving Nabi, you're a merciful Nabi. I've come to ask you to forgive me. Nabi alayhi salam looks up towards the heavens and then he looks at his companions. He said, oh my Sahaba, I have forgiven this man and nobody should point a finger against him. Nobody should point a finger against him. You know, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, it is this character. My brothers, it is this character. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walks into a garden and he sees there is a beggar on the floor, sitting on the floor, and next to him is a dog. Brothers, it's time we reflect that we share a common platform on Mother Earth with Muslims, non-Muslims. Whether you are traveling on business to China, whether you are traveling to Dubai on holiday, that magnetic character needs to attract people to this beautiful faith. I always say this, my brothers, if you cannot be an ambassador to Islam, do not become an obstacle. Do not become an obstacle. He sees this beggar sitting on the floor. Next to him is a dog. He's got a slice of bread in his hand. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he takes the slice of bread, breaks it in two. He gives half to the dog and he eats the other half. He looks at this beggar. He said, what motivated you? What inspired you to do what you had done? What did he say? Istahad aynaya min aynayhi an ughabinahu. He says, I had literally seen hunger in the eyes of this dog. I could not, for the sake of me, eat the slice of bread alone, knowing there is another creation of Allah that is going hungry. These were human beings. So Hassan was so impressed. He asked this person, the slave, who is your master? He said, Abban bin Usman. So he parades the streets of Medina. And he comes to Abban bin Usman. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala asked him, tell me, is that your slave? Yes. Is that your garden? Yes. How much do you want for both the slave and the garden? He said, I want an X amount. He gives him the money. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes back to the slave. He looks at him. He said, I had seen that act of nobility that you displayed. I purchased you from your master. I liberate you. I bought this garden from your master. I gifted to you. You know, Abdullah bin Mubarak had a non-Muslim neighbor. So he puts the house on the market. And he asked for an exorbitant price. Somebody told him, that's the market value. How do you expect to fetch double the price? He says, no, no. One is the value of the house, but the man who will move into my house will have the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. When Abdullah bin Mubarak heard those words, you know, he was humbled. So he comes to his neighbor and he says that, how about me inviting you to Islam? How about me inviting you to Islam? He looks at Abdullah bin Mubarak. He said, what can I tell you? The day you move next door, I looked at your character, I became a Muslim. The day you move next door, I looked at your character, I became a Muslim. You know, my brothers, the journey of Hijrah, I will terminate on this. The Nabi of Allah leaves from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah. Nabi alayhi salam had to disguise his movements. Nabi alayhi salam did not migrate between Makkah and Medina with the intention of da'wah through the journey. He had to disguise his movements. But any person who came in contact with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the faith. We all know the incident of Suraqa, the man who was tempted with 100 camels as he approaches the Nabi of Allah. We know the earth split and he started sinking into the earth. Nabi alayhi salam gave him a gaze and then he said, "Oh Muhammad, forgive me." Nabi alayhi salam said, "I forgive you." He was tempted again, 100 camels. Second time, "Forgive me, I forgive you." Third time it happened, Nabi alayhi salam said, "I forgive you." He comes and he accepts Islam. Suraqa goes to Makkah. He goes to Abu Jahl. He said, "I am telling you, I promise you, this man Muhammad hasn't come to take away anything from you. Go and accept Islam, embrace Islam. Accept Islam, embrace Islam." My brothers, there are multitudes of examples. When we look into the ahadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safwan bin Umayyah, is herding a flock of goats and sheep. Safwan bin Umayyah is totally impressed. Like today somebody is driving a smart car. My brothers, you all know you're driving a new car outside the masjid. You know, young child, as he goes close, what you tell him, "Hey, listen, my boy, don't go any closer. That's the closest. Let alone sitting in the car, don't touch my car." Nabi alayhi salam looked at him. He said, "You like this flock of goats and sheep?" He said, "Of course I love it." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Don't just like it, you can have it. I gift it to you. He becomes so impressed. He goes to his nation and he says, "Ya qawm, aslimu, fa wallahi inna Muhammad la yu'ti atan." He said, "Oh my people, go and embrace Islam. I promise you, this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not come to take away your money, he has come to give you money." My brothers, when this character will come into this ummah, there's so much more I could have shared with you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we become exemplaries. Let us imbibe within our lives this character. Become exemplaries of the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our homes with our spouses, in our businesses with those that are working for us, with the broader community. We share a common platform on Mother Earth. Like I mentioned in the beginning, my brothers, if you cannot become an ambassador of this beautiful faith, do not become an obstacle. We ask the Almighty Allah on this momentous occasion of Jumu'ah that He grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we revive this impeccable, this amazing character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.